Praise the Lord. Okay, well, this is our opportunity to give back to God. He's given us everything we need for life. So this is our opportunity to just give him some time and just worship him, set our hearts and minds on him. So, Lord, we choose to do that right now. Lord, we choose to set our mind on things above. Lord, we just set everything that has distracted us this week and in the past, Lord, that's kept us from seeing you, seeing your marvelous love for us, seeing your truth, seeing the light, Lord, that we would be able to experience, Lord, you in a new dimension today for all of us. Lord, I just pray right now that you would allow us to enter into a place of intimacy with you during this time of worship. Lord, we choose you again today. We choose you, Lord, to be in our lives. We choose you, Lord, to be the King of our life today. We thank you, Lord, that you're the source of all good things. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that is watching over every step we make, every move we take, Lord, every breath we breathe, Lord. You know everything about us, every intricate part of our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are the one who holds us in your hand. You're the one that holds our days in your hand. So, Lord, we just surrender this time to you. We yield, we surrender into your hands our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand if you'd like.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Whoa. Sing it one more time. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Whoa. Jesus, thank you that you're friends, the best friend we could ever ask for. Oh, I don't have to hold on to anything because you take it all away. Because you take it all away.
Holy, there is no one like.
Spirit break out. Thank you. You've been
passionate. Your love, Lord, never ends. Lord, even when we were far from you, you drew us to yourself. You drew us into your heart, into who you are, and revealed yourself to us. I know there may be some that are here today and or listening to my voice that may feel estranged from you, far away. They may feel like a wall's built up, that they're separated from you. But Lord, your word says that nothing can separate us from your love. Not one thing. So Lord, I pray that you would break down any wall, any barrier, whether it's built by the individual or it was built by the enemy. That everyone that you desire, Lord, could receive the fullness of the love of God, the complete love of God, Lord, that removes every fear, every doubt. We just release this now into the service and into the lives of those listening. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, team. Thank you, Nani, for playing. That was awesome. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's awesome. Praise the Lord.
Pastor Mike?
Yes.
You're running on zero battery level.
Zero battery?
Yes.
Well, that's like a miracle then, isn't it?
Can you see how far you go?
Or do you want to switch and I'll grab the other mic for now? I'll pull it off. Hang on. Zero battery. That's pretty good, huh? I think we've gone off before it even hit zero. So definitely a miracle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Was everybody doing good?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and have Eric, pray for a few things, and then I'll tell you where Pastor Gay is.
Oh. Do you want me to pray for that too? Am I doing this too?
Yeah.
All right. So, welcome everybody, and if you would like to give, you can give online, onelifefamilyworship.org. It makes it really easy, and so if you feel generous and you want to give, then go for it. You can do it. .org on that one, and then olfw.net. And then over here we have a box. You could just throw money in there, and we'll put it where it needs to go. So we're going to be praying. Am I doing the nation and the city? Or?
Yeah, you're doing.
It. I'm doing it all. Okay, so. It's our heart here at One Life. We really feel like it's a mandate on us to pray for our city, to pray for our nation, to pray for our government, pray for our president. Even if we don't agree with policies, we didn't vote for them. The fact of the matter is that it's our job as Christians, as believers, to cover them in prayer. And so I'll read this verse for prayer for government leaders. It says, 1 Timothy 2:22, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. So, Lord, I just first of all lift up President Joe Biden. God, I just pray right now that you would bless this man, bless his heart. Lord, bless all the people that are under him, all the people that make the decisions that dictate how our lives here in this country are lived. God, I just pray for heavenly strategy. God, I pray right now that you would invade the White House. You would invade, Lord, every single person in that place, God. And we just thank you, Jesus, that we're not in control. We thank you, Jesus, that you're in charge, that you're the one, Lord. And so we just pray peace We pray for joy. We pray for strategy in that house, God, and for every city official, every state official in our nation as well, God. We pray, Lord, for Yakima. God, we pray, continue praying, Lord, for revival in our city, Lord. Where things may seem dead, that you would revive them, Jesus. So we pray, God, for our police officers, God. We pray for protection for them, God. We pray, Lord, for business owners, God. We pray, Lord, for those who have just began businesses that are going along and trying to make things work, that you would bless them with provision, God. Lord, that our city would be a city that thrives, Lord, that businesses in this city would thrive, Lord. We pray for the students in our city, the high schools in our city, the middle schools and elementary schools, God. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this young generation, Lord, and that we would see a generation that comes to know you. And God, I just pray that this house would be a lighthouse to our city, God. Yes. Lord, that people would be drawn here, Lord, not because of anything else, but because you're here, Jesus. Lord, that people would walk in and they would lay down their lives. They would lay down their burdens, God. Jesus, I just pray for every person in this place that calls this place home, that we would be lights into our city, Lord, wherever we go, every to all the places that we live, to the lower valley, upper valley, Lord, that we would be lights wherever we go. And so we just thank you so much for the city of Yakima, God. I pray that our hearts would burn for our city, that our hearts, Lord, would be proud to be in our city. Lord, that our hearts would actually would be irritated if anybody speaks ill of our city, God. And Lord, that we would begin to speak life, Lord, into the city of Yakima, Lord, into Yakima County, Jesus. So we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I've shared before that I've been reading through the Psalms once a month, and it's a great, great habit to get into. All you have to do is read five Psalms a day. It's a little long when you get to Psalm 119. There's 178 verses, so it takes a little longer, but or 176 maybe, I'm not sure. But there's this dynamic when you're reading the Psalms that you pick up the heart of the psalmist. And how many know that David isn't the only one who wrote the Psalms? A lot of people think that David wrote them all, but he didn't. Actually, Moses wrote a couple of them, possibly Psalm 91, but that's neither here nor there. As you can see, I've got a chill pill there, and today's sermon is entitled Take Your Chill Pill. I'm going to start this off, first of all, by kind of giving you a little bit of an example of my own life. I have been saved now since 1979, something like that, sorry. And I was baptized on the New Year's Eve of 79 to 80. So, yeah, I've been around a while. I'm 61, so I know I don't look it, but that's okay. It looks more and more like it with this gray beard. If I shave my beard, I look... still look like a little kid. I don't know why, but anyway. But when I was saved, you know, I received the grace of Jesus Christ, received the transformation power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and it did a work in me. But how many know you're not perfect once you get saved? And so I had this terrible habit. I still can get it a little bit today, but I've learned to take my chill pill. But what would happen is that something, and this will give you how weird it is and how weird I was. And this was only like maybe 15 years ago. I was still like this. Maybe as Gay was here, said, oh, no, it's much sooner. But what ended up happening is that we would get ready to go to a movie, Gay and I, and possibly the kids. And, you know, you have the previews for the movie, and then you have when the movie starts. Well, you know, I always knew that it usually needed at least 15 minutes to get there for the previews. This is before we had the trailers and all that stuff, you know, that we could watch on our phone or on our iPads or our computers. So what I ended up doing was saying, okay, we got to get to the movies to watch the trailers. Right? Okay. Well, if it was looked like we were running late, I would start to like get this attitude. I would start to like, I don't know if I want to go now, you know? And so it's like, all of a sudden, you know, Gaius goes like, what do you mean I want to go now? It's like, it's just the trailers. I know I want to see the trailers. It's like part of the whole experience, you know? I guess we have some kindred spirits here, but I wouldn't start making, though, everyone else miserable because I was getting so upset, you know, and I'm thinking, come on, hurry, let's get going, you know, and then we'd get in the car and I'd go, we don't need popcorn. It's like, we're going to a movie. You don't need to eat. You know, it's this big old thing, you know, and I would pretty much make people miserable. And that was just one example. I have many. I used to get upset over like the stupidest things. And I needed to take a chill pill. I didn't really know about them back then, so I just kind of went with it. And then finally, you know, I would either get to the place where we get there, and I'd like, oh, okay, this isn't good behavior. But it wasn't anything that was like residing in me. And that's what I want to talk about today. How do we let this peace of God, this comfort of God, the grace that God has given us to live lives that are different from everybody else? We don't need to be like I was. I mean, it's just a movie, for crying out loud. It was just trailers. But to me, they were like, I would get this expectation of what the whole experience was going to be like. And when it fell through, or it looked like it was even going to fall through, sometimes we still get there on time. And I was miserable, you know, at first. It's like, well, we made it. It's like, yeah, I know. But it wasn't a consolation to me. And so I was reading through my Psalms this week, and I came to Psalm 116. Actually, it was yesterday morning, because I was going to share on, I think we've been going through John, and I've been in chapter 16 now for a long time and haven't gotten to it yet, and I was looking forward to getting to 16, but this scripture jumped off the page at me. How many know when a scripture jumps off the page, it means that God wants to do something? And so this may be just for me, or just for one here, or someone that listens to this in the future. So bear with me. I'm not going to be able to read that, so I'm going to have to read it up here. So let's take a look. This is verses 3 through 9. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Then here's our verse. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So I believe this is a psalm of the sons of Korah. Now it's interesting, if you know the whole story of Korah, he was part of the great rebellion against Moses. Korah and his troop thought that basically Moses shouldn't be leading the children of Israel, or at least they should like maybe have some kind of election, because Moses just all of a sudden was their leader, and well, where's this election, you know? And so he wanted to have an election. They wanted to basically prove which one was going to be the leader. Actually, it was Aaron who they were really after. But it was this idea that they were going to see whose rod budded. And once Aaron's rod budded, guess what? God got mad at Korah and all his troops. And so they went into the earth. The earth opened up and dropped them. So I think it's such a blessing that their ancestors really worshiped God. They wrote some of the most amazing psalms. And so we see that their feeling in them, who's ever the sons, I don't know if it's like a couple brothers or if it's like, you know, a trio, but these are multiple people writing this. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. I mean, that sounds like a bad spot to be, you know, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I know most of you know, but I mean, that's kind of where I was at in January, the very beginning of January. I didn't know, you know, what each day was going to bring. My health was for a few days really, really deteriorating. But guess what? I was able to say, then I called on the name of the Lord. And, oh, Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Even though I wasn't like crying out within me, I knew where my hope was. I wish I would have had that back, you know, 15 years ago when it was about movies. But when it seemed like when my life was laying on the line, I wasn't as stressed as I was over a movie. So it sounds like God's been doing something in me. Either that, or I was just so naive that I didn't care, you know, what was happening, or didn't really consider it that big of a deal. But if we look here in verse 6, he says, "The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me." This is a key right here. I believe this will be your key to having that place where you can have your soul return to its rest. Because there is rest for each and every one of us in here. Some of you may say, well, Pastor Mike, that's you. You're a pastor. You've been pastoring for all these years. You've been reading the Word. You've been doing all these things. So that's why you're at peace. You know, me, I don't have, you know, time to read the Word as much as you, or I don't have time to, I haven't been as church as much as you, whatever excuse we can make up. Because sometimes that's easy to do, is make up excuses why we don't have what God has already given us. Remember, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, last time I checked, all things is what? All things. So what does that mean you're lacking?
Nothing.
Nothing. No thing. You're not lacking no thing. There's nothing that you're lacking. Now, it's hard to believe because we look in the mirror and we say, oh my gosh, am I ever lacking? And it could be, you know, we're judging ourselves physically, or it could be that we're judging us looking in our eyes and seeing the hurt and the pain, or the stuff that we're caught up in. Have you ever just taken time and looked in the mirror in your eyes? It's freaky. It is freaky. Some people can't do it because it's so freaky. But why? Because it's communicating where we're at to ourselves. We read the Word, the word then is a mirror. So then we start reading the Word, and now here's this mirror, and it's saying, oh, wow, you've got all these issues and everything. So we tend to think that we're lacking. We're not lacking anything. So what's the problem? Returning. Remembering. Staying. Those are keys. What we have to remember is that this doesn't happen by accident. A walk of faith just doesn't happen. I mean, you can walk and the Lord will be with you and he'll do anything he can to help you and lead you closer to him. But the walk of faith, fighting the good fight of faith, doesn't happen by accident. It has to be purposed. It has to be determined. It has to be something that you're saying, you know what? I am going to choose this day who I'm going to serve. Just like Joshua said to everyone who was left in Israel, he says, you know what? Choose this day whom you're going to serve. They had a choice to make. He wasn't going to make them. All the fighting and everything was done. They were all going to go to their homes. They were going to go to their lands, the tribe areas that they had all won. And he says, but you know, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He made that declaration. And so what we have here is the ability for us to find a place of rest. Because he has dealt bountifully with us. I mean, unless we are not looking at everything that he's given us, whether it just be just our salvation. I mean, just look at the world out there. They're in a mess right now because they don't have hope in this day if they don't have Jesus. What they have is the circumstances and the situations every single day, and they're trying to cope the best they can. Sometimes they're using extra devices in their life to try to cope. Sometimes they're just staying so busy they don't give their mind a moment to think. I mean, they don't even like quiet, because once they start getting quiet, guess what? They start thinking about their situation. Let's go ahead and take a look at this verse 7, in a few different translations. I really like doing this because it gives us different ways of looking at this verse that I think really help communicate it. So here we have in verse 7, Young's literal translation, "Turn back, O my soul, to thy rest," or "to your rest, for Jehovah hath conferred benefits on thee." I think, again, this is interesting because one thing we have to realize is this is our rest that God's given us. It's not something we have to go seek out and try to find. He's already given it to us. If he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, don't you think he's given us rest? I think that's included. New Living Translation, "Let my soul be at rest." So this is it's kind of like where David saying, "Break forth into joy, O my soul." When they were going to kill him because all of the families and all the goods were stolen when they were, I can't remember the name of the place, but they had basically gone out and fought. And while they were gone, some marauders came in and took everything they had, including their wives and all their goods. And his men were talking about killing David because he was the leader and this is the situation they're in. But it says, David strengthened himself in God. He fortified himself. He spoke, "Hey, soul, don't listen to this, because God is the one who's in charge of this situation. Not what we're seeing. I don't care what we see. I don't care how bad it looks. God is in charge." And sure enough, they went after them and they retrieved everything. Yep, amen. "Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me." The ERV, Easy Read Version, says, "My soul," sees my soul, "relax." Chill. Soul, chill. You know, I wish I would have had this back when I was at the movie, before we were going to the movies. Chill, it's just a movie. You know, if I could have just had some perspective of what really was important in life. And if it was the beginning of the movie, forget it. I'd say I'm not going in. If we missed it for some reason, I'm not going in. It's because I hated missing the very beginning of a movie. Yeah, it's just the way it should be. But the problem is when we let that make everyone else miserable, we don't chill. It's no good. Like, come on, Dad. Eric's like, amen, amen, amen. So I definitely got some kindred spirits here today. All right, relax. The Lord is caring for you. That's the key. We can relax because he's caring for us. What's Peter say? To cast all our cares on him. Why? Because he cares for us. So if he's caring for us, could say he's carrying us, really. I mean, God is the one that's holding us. He's holding our hearts. He's holding our lives. He's the one that is making it so that we can be sustained, folks. He's the one that's keeping us in this existence. And if he's the one doing that, we can relax a little bit. Now, this is the Bible in Basic English is the translation that I'm reading this month. Every month I change the translation, so it does keep it fresh a little bit. "Come back to your rest, O my soul." That was what got me. Come back. That means I left it. And that means I got to find it again. The thing is, it's not outside of me. It's not like I have to go somewhere. Oh, now it's time to go to another encounter. Remember we'd always say that when people would start getting, oh, they need an encounter. It's like, you know, they would start acting a certain way. Oh, it's time for an encounter. You know, we just thought that, okay, now we have to wait 3 months before I have another encounter, and they just came back from one, so how are we going to live with them, you know? I mean, the thing was is that we had this idea that we had to be somewhere to actually receive what God had for us or has for us. But that's old thinking. We need to get rid of that. I don't care if you're in your bed. I don't care if you're riding your bike. I don't care if you're at school. I don't care if you're in the midst of a hospital on life support. You have everything you need right there. Why? Because God has taken residency in us. Remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he told her that, listen, it's not in this mountain, and it's not on that mountain. It's not even really in temples. God has chosen to take residence in people, in lives. That's amazing. That means that he's chosen us over every other sanctuary that's ever been built for him. You know why? Because he built this sanctuary. We are his creation, and he feels very at home He feels he can kick his shoes off and put his feet up on the coffee table with us because he feels comfortable in us. So come back to rest, to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has given you your reward. See, the key is we're remembering what God has done for us. I said to myself, relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. Are you guys getting this? This is something that we need to remember when we're starting to feel stress and anxiety and anxiousness. That we can say to our soul, relax. God's got this. He's got it. I don't care how bad it looks, he's got it. I don't care if all of your goods have been stolen, your family's been stolen, doesn't matter. God's got it. And then the Passion Translation says this, now I can say to myself and to all. I like that, and to all. Because really, when we get this message in our hearts, we can communicate it to others. We can let them know. Those who know the Lord can say, I can relax and be at rest and confident and serene because the Lord rewards fully those who simply trust in him. It's just about trusting God. Now in Hebrews 4, 8, 10, and 11, I'm going to go through this pretty quick. It says, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. This is breaking it out, but basically what it's talking about is that the people, the children of Israel, were supposed to go into a promised land. And it was known as a place of rest. And how many know that after the 40 years, they did go into their promised land? But it wasn't the full rest God was talking about. The full rest comes only in Christ. It comes no other way. It doesn't come. Rest does not come from going to church enough, to put it in today's vernacular. It doesn't come from listening to enough worship songs. It doesn't come from just reading your Bible. You know what rest comes from? Resting in Jesus. Resting in his arms. Resting in his love. Resting in his life. Not holding on to your own rights and your own things. You say, no, Lord, I'm just going to give this to you, casting my cares on you, because you care for me. You care for me. Even if I don't care for myself, he cares for me, which is crazy. You get to the place where you don't even care about yourself and you want to do harm to yourself, but God's still caring for you and he's trying to do everything he can to keep you from hurting yourself or destroying yourself or whatever it is, because he cares for you. He never stops caring for us. Even for the person that's most vile to him, he cares for them, which is hard to believe, but that's his nature. So if we look here, this is the key verse. 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Now, I studied that word out, strive, before. You know what it means? Work hard. So, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, so I'll say Paul was saying, make sure you're working hard to enter into his rest. Work hard at taking it easy. Now, if we could only get paid for that. Oh, I'm working hard. I have this T-shirt that I wear. And people say, you shouldn't wear that, Pastor. I just love it, though. Perfecting the art of lazy. I wish I could do it. It seems like I'm always busy. But it's a concept that, you know, I'm going to try to take it easy. I'm going to try to relax. Perfect this. So, well, it should say for us Christians is perfecting the art of rest. How about that? There's a T-shirt, perfecting the art of rest. In other words, I'm learning how to cease from my own labors, my own struggle, my own striving, my own fighting to try to win this fight of faith and then give up. I give up, Lord. I can't win this fight of faith. Well, then, Pastor, you just said it's hard to fight the fight of faith. It is. But the more we're at rest, the easier it is. It's just, it's very difficult for these natural minds to catch this. Psalm 42, 1, 2, 5, and 6. How are we doing on time? Oh, taking a little bit. This is the great psalm that has, as the deer pants for the water, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you. Oh God, I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? I mean, how many think that way when we go to church? Oh, I'm thirsty, Lord. I can't wait to go and stand in your presence and worship you and just praise your name. And it's going to be so amazing. And then you go home and then you start Monday. And then, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And then you got to remember, no, I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm going to praise him again and again and again and again. And if the praise and the thanksgiving isn't working right now, well, then I'll wait 5 minutes and I'll do it again. Because how many know that we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and something happens supernaturally in us? We're transformed. My Savior and my God. Whoever wrote that psalm, and I believe it was David, was connecting with relationship. Not just words, not just promises, but relationship. My Savior, my God. Intimacy. Isaiah 30:15 says this, "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning," there's that returning again, coming back, not staying away, but returning, "and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling." Part of that's the problem, I think, is a lot of people are unwilling. They're unwilling to take the time or take the ego down enough so that they can humble themselves and say, "Lord, I just need you. I'm returning back to you. I'm setting my mind on you and not on all these problems that face me right now, not on these circumstances that are keeping my heart at racing and questioning whether or not I'm going to be okay. I'm just going to set my mind on you. I'm going to return to you and remember that you're a good, 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 good daddy. You're a good father. You're not evil. You're not playing games with my life. You have the very best in mind for me. Even though I can't understand it, even though it doesn't make sense, you do. You have the very best at heart for me." So in quietness and trust, it's going to be our strength. What's strength? Strength is the ability to get through things. I remember when I came back from the hospital, I would try to do certain things and like, oh my gosh, I couldn't hardly stand the first Sunday. That was like 2.5 weeks or after I had gotten out. And you know, now I'm getting strong again. I can pick up bags and stuff. But I mean, I know what it's like when you don't have strength. And if we're walking our walk of faith without strength, it's going to be hard. And we need to use that strength to strive, to work hard at entering into his rest. I know, puzzled look, Tara. It's like, what is God saying here? He's saying, with the no money that you have, buy for me something that's invaluable. That's what he's saying. You don't have enough money to buy this, but what you do have, purchase it from me. Why? Because it's not about if we have enough money. It's about, are we willing to exchange our life for his life? It's not a one-time deal. We don't just get saved one time. I'm telling you, we don't. I mean, we have all had experiences, church. Oh, man, I felt like I got saved again. But every day you get up, it's a new day of salvation. I'm telling you, it is. It's a new experience of your Christian walk. You'll never walk this way again, and you're not going to walk yesterday like you walked today. I don't care if you're going through the exact same motions. You need the salvation for that day. You need to be saved in this day, because you don't know what you're facing. None of us do. None of us know what kind of pestilence is out there. There could be a COVID 10 around the corner. You know, like Windows 10, COVID 10, you know, I don't know. Even Apple has an OS 10, so I'm just wondering if 10 is going to be the next thing they try to pin on us with the, you know, whole COVID thing. I'm just saying, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But guess what we do know? We do know that we are His if we live in that reality. But you have to live in it. You can't live in it when it's all bad and you haven't been living in it before. It has to be something that you're in now so that it will be with you tomorrow. Quietness and trust, returning and rest. Keep those in mind. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So here it is, standing, looking, asking, walking. Having done all, what's it say? Stand. When you're at a crossroads, when you're not sure what to do, not sure where to go, not sure who to even talk to, look around and find what the Lord's been doing in your life. Maybe you have to look in the past and remember the memorials that He's taken you through, the situations, the circumstances that He brought you completely out of. And ask for that same type of passion for Him again. Lord, give me that same type of zeal that I had then, or give me the heart that I had then. And then once you find it, once you know where the good way is, just walk in it. Walk. Isn't it interesting? It's called a Christian walk. Because we have to walk it out. We have to walk this out. And it's not like a walk that you just walk when you're here and then you leave and then you just do whatever you want to do and then Sundays you come back walking. No, it's between Sundays. It's what's going on between this Sunday and that Sunday, or this Christmas and that Christmas, or this Easter and that Easter. What are we doing between? How do we walk when nobody else is watching us walk? How are we walking and talking and living and moving and having our being in Him when it's just Him watching us? I got to come back to this, because this is Jesus Himself, and He tells us where rest is. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wow. So Jesus is the source? Sounds like it. Take my yoke upon you, the yoke of love, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will, notice that's not like you might, possibly, no, you will find rest for your souls. Go back to this previous one. It's interesting. Stand, look, ask, and walk, and you find rest for your souls. In Jeremiah 6:16. Now Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Keep in mind, that's what the psalmist is asking. Return, my soul, to rest. And for us, maybe what we need to return to is our first love. We need to return to the passion we once had for God. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is admonishing the Laodiceans. No, not sorry, Ephesus. That's chapter 2, sorry. Chapter 2 of Revelations. Ephesus, He's admonishing the church to return to the works that they did at first. And we were talking about this on Wednesday night. What are the works that we did at first? Probably the very first work that we did was receiving Him. Lord, You look like You're the Messiah, and I'm going to follow You. You look like the one that's going to give me eternal life. I'm going to go after You. You look like the one that's going to take me from hell and take and translate me into heaven. I'm going to receive You into my life. However it was, that was the very first work that You did. That's what I'm saying. Maybe some of us need to get saved again. And I know it's kind of hard on our pride. Wow, I don't want to get saved again. you know, because I gotten saved. And what will people think if I say that I got saved again? They're going to think I was backslidden, or that I wasn't walking with God, or I didn't love God. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a matter of this simple at heart and saying, Lord, I just need you. You know, there's a prayer. I had a problem with this prayer that the Orthodox pray. The Orthodox are basically the oldest. You think Catholicism is the oldest. No, really, Orthodoxy is the oldest Christianity there is. And they pretty much have not strayed from it since it was established back in like the 300s or 200s AD, right after Jesus. And one of the prayers that they pray, Lord Jesus, forgive me a sinner. And they pray it over, Lord Jesus, forgive me a sinner. I'm like, well, not a sinner anymore. But what they're doing is they're reminding themselves that they need him. It's not that they're saying, oh, God doesn't love me, or that, you know, I'm just a worm. No, they're reminding themselves that they need Jesus. They're reminding themselves that he is their Savior. And the thing is that a lot of times the modern Christian church likes to think we have it all together, and we got it all worked out. Somebody says, no, I don't. But I mean that as we say, God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, so we don't need to worry about a thing. We don't need to do a thing because God's done everything. So all we need to do is just receive what he's done. So, Lord, I'm just going to walk in that truth that I receive what you've done. It's all done, so I don't have to do a thing. All I have to do is just keep saying that you've done it all. Well, that's only going to work if you're abiding in him. Right? If you're just saying, Lord, you've done it all, I'm not going to worry about a thing, but you're not walking out something, you're not walking out your life, if you're just going through the motions, or you're just living a life and saying, God's got it all, which he does, but without it, a relationship. Let's take it back to a husband and wife. Can you imagine if you just told your wife, you know, honey, I love you, and we're married, and we've got that document in the file drawer, and so we're married, so it's all good, right? Yeah, honey, we're married. Okay, I'm gonna go and live in South Africa. What for? Well, because they've got some really cool things going on down there. I'm gonna go live in the in Anchorage, Alaska, because there's too much light here, and I want some dark days. I don't know, but I'm just saying. Can you imagine if you just told them, "Well, we're married. We don't need to worry about it. It's all good. We're married. I'll send you some money every now and then, even." How's that going to work out for you? Probably not too well, right? And yet that's the way a lot of us try to live our life with God. Yeah, we've got this covenant thing going on, Jesus. Wow. You died on the cross. I received that. I'm saved. Oh, praise the Lord. Now I'm going to go do some stuff. Just going to live my life. No different. And we wonder why we're saying, why am I so discouraged? Why are all the circumstances overwhelming me? Why am I getting ticked off because I can't get to the previews or the trailers or whatever you want to call them? It's because we're not remaining in him. We're not abiding in him. We're not focusing on him. So, I think what we need to do is continually, in our hearts, receive salvation. Because how many remember when you were first saved? Were you pretty passionate? I mean, when you first received God, were you pretty passionate? Were you pretty excited? Wanted to learn, wanted to grow, wanted to find out everything there was to know about Jesus? I think we all were, weren't we? That love relationship was like on fire. Katie and Noah, they're going to be getting married this coming Saturday. Congratulations, you guys. I'm so excited. They're going to learn about what does it take to keep a relationship on fire. Because it takes work. Now, not the kind of work that you sit there and you sweat at your brow, but it takes a heart work. It takes something deep inside of you, a dying to yourself. And that's what this relationship with Christ is. Why do you think we're called his bride? Because we are. It's real. It's real. And if we take our daily chill pill, or multiple times a day, you may need to set a reminder on your phone. Take your chill pill. And what is it? It's returning to the fact that he saved you. When you were at your ugliest, he saved you. I mean, when you were at your worst state, he saved you. And remember, he saved you for your worst day, not for your best day. Past, present, and future. Whatever that worst day is, he saved you for that day. He saved you from that day. So we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to sing.
Open up my eyes in wonder and show.
Show me your love. I will build my life. And I will build. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you. Foundation of your love. Lord, make sure and remind us. Keep reminding us, Lord, that where you live, that you've chosen residency in us, that everything we need, Lord, for our life is found in you. It's found in you. And Lord, that's not too far from us. It's right here, right where we are, right now. Wherever we are, there you are, Lord. Wherever we happen to go, Lord, you are there. So, Lord, we just ask right now, you would seal this time, seal this sharing, this worship in our hearts. Lord, let it bring fruit and fruit that remain. Help those, Lord, that struggle with getting anxious, with getting discouraged. Help them, Lord, to realize that there is an answer, returning and rest, Lord. That's the chill pill they can take. They don't need some pharmaceutical answer. Lord, you are the answer. We just thank you for this, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed day. What's that? Oh, where's Gay? Gay is on her way back. She is with our granddaughters. One went to state for gymnastics, and so Gay was staying with a little one. And so, yeah, so it was a need for her to be gone. So not that I know that she, I mean, I know that she would have brought other aspects of this, but the Lord's been here and he kept me on track, didn't let me go down rabbit trails. That's always good. Well, praise the Lord. Love you guys. Have a blessed day. Oh, wait. Gina has something.
No. No, I just wanted to tell you guys for Saturday for Katie's wedding. So due to COVID, we were only able to invite half of the capacity of the church here. And so we're just apologize for everybody that didn't get invited because we really want, you know, this is just a joyous event. And I remember when, you know, when I got married, my mom just gave me this list of a bunch of uncles and aunts that I didn't know, you know. And so it's like, you know, the more the merrier, which was fine, but, you know, which it's, we're really sorry that, you know, not everybody got invited, but it will be online on Facebook and I think through Zoom. So just wanted to let you guys know the wedding is Saturday at 1:30, and if you guys want to watch it through Facebook live, you guys can. So God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a blessed day. Love you guys.